You got to first be processed before you can possess. You got to be processed before you can possess. So see, your promise is awaiting your process. And some of you all are fighting your process. Some of you keep fighting, and you're the one that's delaying your promise. So again, I ask, are you arresting your blessing? Are you waiting on God, or is God waiting on you? See, verse 2 of this text said, that God was going to humble you and test you and see if you would keep his commandments or not. So I ask you tonight, are you keeping what you're supposed to be keeping? See, a lot of us think that we can just, you know, do some sloppy agape. We can love any kind of way. We can love who we want, when we want, how we want. And if God is giving us a certain principle for what we're supposed to be doing, we got to keep up with that. We got to obey what he's asking us to do. We can't just do it our way. If he commanded you to do it, he might not command you the same way he'll command me, because we're not all going to the same place. And some people could not stand the warfare that Pastor Marty's going through, so y'all ain't going. You're not on the front line. He's on the front line, but you're supporting him in this ministry, right? So it's kind of the same thing, but we got to understand that he had to be processed for where he's going. You don't just go when you want to go. That's a good way to get your clock clean, okay? That's what I do know. That warfare is no joke. So don't covet somebody else doing whatever it is that you feel like you want to do, because there was a process that came with that promise. You got to be ready for that. Verse 3 said that, you know, we won't live by, you know, bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we have to also know that we can't just feed our flesh. You're going to have to be spiritually ready for where he's taking you. There's a way that he's going to do that, but you got to be feeding your spirit. You cannot just be in your flesh or in your carnality. Verse 4 said he gave us manna, right? So he gives us a provision for the vision or our promise. And we notice that their clothing didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell or get tired. So see, some of you have to realize, if you look at where you are, because a lot of us are exhausted, but look how far God's brought you, because you're right here now. Because I've always said that, you know, the parting of the Red Sea was a good thing, but crossing the Jordan was a God thing. It was a great thing, right? That's even better. So good and perfect gifts. So we had a good thing with the Red Sea, but then we had a great thing with the Jordan. Some of you are about to cross into that. And some of you are so exhausted that you don't even expect it anymore. You're just going through the motion, going through the motion. God is saying, are you ready for Canaan? Are you ready? Is your process, what is the problem? God disciplines and instructs just as a man disciplines and instructs his son. So, you know, how many of us have been disciplined with no instruction? We're just getting whipped and beat up and told what to do, but we don't, then what, right? If some of you are feeling like that, you need to be asking God, what's next? Or why did this get off course? Or why did you sit me down? See, a lot of people are in a sitting position right now, and they're like, I feel like I'm gonna go crazy. I need to get out of this place. I can't do this anymore. Why am I still here where I'm at? I thought I would be, you know, 10 years ahead, and what's going on? There's some instructions that you probably haven't been listening to. Go back to the last instruction he gave you. Some of us want to like skip little steps and do what we want to do, and we can't do that, right? We want to, because we don't like, there's some things that are like, oh, this is just beneath me. No, he's training you and getting you ready. He's processing you for that place. What good does it do to have discipline with no instruction? It doesn't. And he's not that kind of father that's going to do that. So we have to be aware of that. We're to worship and obey God. That's what verse 6 says. Verse 7 said, God is bringing us into a very good place, a place of abundance and overflow, and that we're going to be full and satisfied. See, a lot of y'all aren't satisfied because you ain't where God wants you to go yet. And you're complaining. And see, the Israelites said, what, 40 years? They were tired of waiting. So they decided, well, you know what? I know that we had this tablet of commandments, and we saw the cloud, and we saw what, you know, Moses did, and we had this Red Sea experience. But, you know, we're just going to still build our own little worship. We're going to worship who we want now, because we're tired of waiting. And my question tonight is, who are you worshiping? What idol are you worshiping now because God took too long in your estimation? Because, see, he sent an apostle here to tell you that there's something that you haven't done yet. There's some instruction that just hasn't been done yet because you don't understand what God is doing. In order for you to possess your promise, number one, you got to use godly wisdom. See, a lot of you don't know what your promise is, so you're chasing somebody else's promise. Or you're chasing somebody else's what they told you you're going to do without you asking God, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? So, is it yours? Is it a counterfeit? Are you praying amiss for something? Now, you don't even know what you're praying. I just want that. Or that's what it looks like I would want. Some of you need to really seek God, and you need to fast, and you need to pray. Are you pursuing a good thing, or are you pursuing a God thing? What are you pursuing? Who are you pursuing? If it's not God, it's amiss. Because there are certain places that he needs to get you in position for, but if you're going to keep going around and around and around and around and around and around for years and years and years and years and years, decades of going around the same place, if you don't wake up, we got to get out of this mess, okay? And when I say godly counsel, I'm not talking about a horoscope. I'm not talking about a palm reader or these mediums that you see people, oh, I just need a word. You better watch what word you're getting. Who are you consulting? And what have you consulted? Because maybe that's why you don't hear anything anymore, because God's like, I'm not going to compete. I'm not here to compete. You can go wherever you want, listen to foolishness if you want, but that'll stop some stuff. So some of us need to repent for the places that we've walked because we didn't want to wait anymore. Some of us want to just a quick word. That quick word can get you in trouble. Be very careful with that. Second, so we need godly wisdom. And secondly, we also need to obey his instructions. See, that's the hard part for some of us because sometimes it doesn't make any sense. It's like, really, Lord? You really want me to do what? Like Pastor Marty talking to the gentleman about, you know, let me pray over the food and then talk, you know. If it doesn't make sense, again, that doesn't mean that that's not God testing you to see if you will obey in the small things, right? Sometimes the resources aren't there. Okay, well, you better start asking God, where is this going to come from? I don't know how I'm going to do X, Y, Z if you're asking me to do it, but he always will send the provision. And a lot of us are too prideful to ask for help because God might be breaking your little pride. Sometimes he'll do that. I'm too embarrassed. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to get a job wherever. I don't want to have to ask so-and-so, or I don't want it to look like I don't have it together. See, that's pride that he's breaking. Some of us have to have that broken off of our lives. And it doesn't feel good, but it's profitable, spiritually speaking, for us to do what he says. Sometimes the help isn't even in there. So I say keep praying, but you got to move your feet. See, the thing that we don't understand about prophecy, which is so wonderful, but again and again, we're in a prophetic house. This is a wonderful place for those of you that are visiting or have never been here to get a real word. But when you get that word, you need to, first of all, record it and have a date on it and start looking at how can I get closer to what they said or what was said. Because if you're just sitting there waiting for God and he's waiting on you to get in position, you're going to have a problem. And a lot of people have been waiting on a word for like ever and they're frustrated about it. But we need to understand that when God releases a prophetic word, it doesn't mean that you can just kick it, like kick back and don't do what he's asking you to do. Because, see, faith is active. Faith without works is dead, right? Belief is passive. I can believe all day long and just sit here and nothing's happening. But if I have faith about something, I better be working towards that thing. I got to get into position for that. You got to keep moving your feet around. And you got to get close enough to that door for it to open. Like when you're at the grocery store, you don't just stand there and wait for it to open, right? No, you gotta get up on it for it to open. It's got to be able to pick sense you. There's some things that ain't going to move till you move. Some things got to be moved. You got to be moving so it can catch you. See, a lot of us are so, you know, we're in our prayer closet. We won't come out. I know I'm hurting somebody's feelings tonight. It's okay. It'll be fine. I'm giving you some good stuff. You got to be out here moving around because you don't know who's connected to your destiny. You don't know. Kind of like these rocket boosters. For those of you that watch NASA stuff or the space shuttle, there are certain boosters that thrust capsule up into into orbit, then they fall off. They drop off. They don't ride the whole time. So see, you got some people in your life that are sent to thrust you somewhere, but they're not going to go with you. Stop holding on to what's not supposed to be there. See, some people can't go where you're going. And we get real sideways about, oh, well, how are they going to feel? Or you start to feel like, oh, I can't either. One, I can't do it by myself. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? We can do that. We can do what we have to do. Or we start feeling guilty. We have this imposter syndrome. That's a real thing, by the way, for those of you that study psychology, to feel like, oh, I don't really deserve that. Or who am I? You know, we've got this thing. I was raised in religion, not necessarily, you know, the full gospel until I was about, I was a senior in high school when I got saved. But to have religion tell me to feel a certain kind of way because I put Jesus on the cross because of what I did, I was always feeling guilty about something. If you didn't feel guilty, then you weren't religious enough, right? You got to really just feel horrible all the time. So sometimes we've been raised with those types of foundations. And I'm in real estate. I'm here to tell you, if your foundation's wrong, the house is going to be wrong. It's going to be slanted. It's going to be cracking. It's not going to be able to handle the weight of the home, and things will start to shift. You got to have the right foundation, which is the Word of God. This is why I'm saying when we speak out loud, this is my Bible, I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. See, a lot of us are just reading, and we know, yeah, but no, understand that is real. You need to connect that with this and this so that you can understand whatever God says you can have, you're going to have it. Because he is saying that there's abundance and there's overflow and you will be full and satisfied when he takes you into your promise. Now, third, we got to confess what we will possess. See, a lot of us are confessing what we don't have. Somebody will catch that. A lot of us are, oh, I don't have this, or I wonder what. No, you need to say what God said you're going to have. Deuteronomy 28, right? It talks about what we're going to have. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out, right? I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed in the city. There's blessings for obedience. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 tells us what we're going to have. A lot of us don't know what it says. You know, we have no idea that, oh, I can have that. Yes. You're supposed to have that. You are not supposed to be broke, busted, or disgusted as a child of God. That is not a good look. That's not the look that you need to walk down the street with, and you're on barely get along street, okay? Now, some of us are that way because we don't know what we're doing with our money. And I teach that too, but I'm just saying that you can't know one thing and confess something else and expect to get the right result. Because I want you to think about something, and that's key number three in my book. The revelation of this changed my life because to realize how powerful your words are, okay? To realize how powerful your words can be. And think about, when I say power, Proverbs 18 and 21, right? Let's go there. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 21. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, a lot of us have read that, and we think, okay, I know what that means. That's Proverbs 18:21. It has the power of life. But does anybody really know what power means? Let's look at the definition of power, okay? Power means the legal ability, capacity, or authority for something. So if we translate Proverbs 18:21, we would say that the tongue has the legal ability, capacity, or authority of life and death. My God, did anybody catch that? Your tongue has the legal ability. So every time you say something, it can create life or death. You can curse something with your mouth. A lot of us have cursed ourselves, so we didn't even know it. Or we had somebody in authority in our life that said, that's dumb and stupid, you'll never do that. Who do you think you are? They just cursed you. And you don't even know a curse just happened. You don't understand the complexities of the spirit realm, but the enemy knows, oh, okay, well, the tongue has that legal capacity and authority for that. Okay, so let's just put that in motion. See, a lot of us are fighting against word curses and didn't even know it. The tongue has the legal ability, capacity, or authority of life and death, and those who love it will eat the fruit that it produces. So I want us to think about when we start making declarations, right? We're declaring something, we're speaking something, and that's why we declare it again. This is my Bible. We're declaring that. We're speaking that. If we're created in God's image and likeness, and that's what Genesis 1 said, right? Let us make them in our image and likeness. That means we're like God. He made us like him. We're not God, okay? Don't go there. I know some people will say I was teaching that. No, I did not say that. I said likeness, okay? So, but think about it. He spoke the world and the creation. He spoke night and day, and he spoke it all. You have that same thing you can do. You can start speaking to your situation and turning that thing around. But you got to speak it, not think it, or have this discussion with whoever. No, you need to start declaring things. This is my body. It is healthy. It is aligned. You know, if you got high blood pressure, no blood pressure, you're going to be exactly what it's supposed to be. You start telling yourself that. Stomach, you are not going to rule me. I'm not going to be eating at the midnight hour because you're hungry. I have taken authority over my hunger, over my cravings. If you don't stop your flesh, it will override everything. You got to start talking back. The devil tells you one thing, you tell him something back. And this is probably the only time that you should get the last word, okay? Because some fights are just not worth having the last word about. But that's a whole another teaching. But some of us don't understand. We need to start confessing, okay? Confess what you're going to possess and understand that you have the power to do that. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. It's the same thing. If you're popping off the mouth to the wrong person, something could happen to you. It's not going to be cute. Or if you're saying the wrong things about your situation, I'm never this, I was never going to be that, or just is impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. That's what the word said. Is anything too hard for God? No. And we need to start realizing there's nothing too hard for him. It's just that we haven't activated our faith. That's another key in this book. We haven't activated faith. The first thing Hebrews says is it's impossible to please God without faith. So guess what? The enemy is going to send everything he can to get you to not believe. Do you know that there are spirits of doubt and unbelief that are released constantly to get you to waver and wonder, I don't know, did God say that? I don't know. You better know whose voice you're listening to. And you better know if it's in here that it's yours. Okay, and it will align with your situation. The other thing that I have to illustrate, or some of us have talked about some inner vows. I'll put it that way. That's probably a better way. So you can have an oath, you can have a pledge, or you can have a vow. Some of us have decided, well, I'll never do that. It's just not for me. Or, oh, I had a bad situation, so I'll never marry again. Well, did God say you were going to have a marriage at some point? Or I can't meet the right people. It's just not for me. Really? You better watch what you're speaking. You better watch what you're saying. Or I'll never lose weight. I'll never get out of debt. It's too much. Really? You better watch what you're speaking. Because when you start making these vows, these inner vows can create strongholds, okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute, but we got to be really careful. I want you to be aware also that you might be arresting your blessing if you don't understand when you decide to put money with, when we say we're going to sow a seed, right? That, all of us, I think, in the church have probably heard that. Sow a seed for XYZ prayer, right? So we're making this pledge. So I want to make sure that I'm explaining this because I think there's the revelation of this is powerful as well. A lot of us have pledged money, whether that be to a building fund, televangelist stuff, or just in our personal life that we've always been told, sow a seed for that, okay? Well, you just made a pledge, okay? You pledged something. Let's say you pledged to the building fund and or on TV, because they're really good at late at night when you're up and you're like, oh, I need to do that, right? I need to make a pledge. Yeah, yes. So $1,000, whatever it is, and they tell, oh, just pay on it. Pay as you can, $5, $10. So if you're pledging that way and you're not keeping up with how much, if you're in a church and they're probably going to say, hey, we're halfway to our goal, or do you know where you are with your own goal? Because a lot of us make it the church's responsibility when I'm trying to teach you that it's yours, okay? If you commit to something, that is for you to pay and you to finish what you said you would do. So when you make a pledge, okay, and don't get me wrong, I believe that we should pledge, we should sow, we should do all this stuff, but we have to understand what we're doing when we add money to a prayer request or a petition that we're making in this pledge. And a pledge is defined as something delivered as security. Hear what I'm saying. Something delivered as security for the payment of a debt or fulfillment of a promise and subject to forfeiture or upon failure to pay or fulfill the promise. Something delivered as security for the payment of a debt or fulfillment of a promise and subject to forfeiture upon failure to pay or to fulfill the promise. So let me ask you something here. I'm going to bring it here. So if you buy a car, right? You buy a car. Most of us in here probably have purchased something, and you pledge that as collateral, right? If you don't pay, what happens? They take it, right? So when you pledge, I'm going to do this for whatever, I'm sowing this so that I can, I don't know, buy a home, whatever it is, and you forget about that. That pledge is still out there. Upon forfeiture, I just read, upon you not fulfilling your promise or your failure to pay, you had pledged that as security. So really, that prayer request is like the collateral that you put your money on. A lot of our prayers have not been answered because we pledged something we didn't pay. We forgot about it, but guess who didn't? Because these principles are still working. Pledges, vows, we got to be careful. Oaths, we got to be very careful. Same with a vow. Now, most of us are familiar with our marriage vows, right? We're up here saying something. But you have to realize that when you speak out of your mouth and you promise to do something and you fail to do what you said you would do, God takes that very seriously. Because the Word of God said it'd be better that you didn't make a pledge than to make one and not do it. That is Ecclesiastes 5:1-7. It says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they do wrong. I'm here to tell you, a lot of us have done that. We've never been taught what I'm teaching. We don't understand how serious it is when we get out our little purse and we're sitting there looking at, whatever praise-a-thon or whatever's on, or in our church, we're like, yeah, I want to be part of this, and then we don't do what we said we were going to do. We're hindering, we're arresting our own blessings. The Word further says, do not be quick with your mouth, do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few. A dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. So in other words, don't be saying too much. Foolish people talk a lot. Wise people, you don't hear them say too much. And again, we know our words can ensnare us because they have the power of life or death. So be very cautious what you're out here saying. It says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Now, God is saying, I'm not saying it. He's saying, yeah, he doesn't like fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, oh, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless, therefore fear God. This is in the Word. That was Ecclesiastes 5:1-7. He is saying, don't make a vow and don't pay it. And don't go back to, well, I didn't mean that. I didn't know. No, it's in here. God is not happy with foolishness, okay? He doesn't like fools or people that behave like that. We got to be careful that when we come to the house of God, that we're serious and our attention is 1,000%, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Because we forget about stuff, or the cares of the world start, and, oh, I'll get back to it. I'll get back to it. I'll get back to it. I remember when I was in Dallas, this came to me, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, maybe I haven't paid somebody. And I'd done the same thing I'm teaching you guys about the telethon and all this stuff, and I went back to one of the ministries that used to do that a lot, and I owed a little bit of money. It wasn't much. I got a job, like, the next week. I had been waiting for work for a long time, and once I paid that, it was done. And it showed me, it wasn't a whole lot. I think I owed like $100. It was something that was, it was still a stretch because I was unemployed, but I thought, if I don't pay this, I need to pay God back. And then the doors opened. I got a job with benefits and all this stuff. So I'm saying that things are tied up because we haven't been taught. Do what you said. If you're going to pledge or make a vow or an oath, be careful what you, see, the oaths, again, what are you pledging? I promise this, or I pledge to do this, or if you were in some of these organizations that require you to have an oath to be part of them, be careful what you pledge in your soul to. And I'm talking here with some sororities, some fraternities, some secret society things. That just be very careful about what you are promising to do, or what, you know, till the day you die. Now you have some of us, we just need to be careful. I'm not against that. Okay, I'm just out in the open. I'm a teacher, and I'm very careful about what I'm going to commit or pledge my life to. Because if he didn't say do it, I'm not doing it. We got to be very careful about what we're pledging our souls to or speaking. You know, we actually invite the death angel to say, oh, okay, well, if you try to do something, we got to just be very careful about what we're inviting, because we don't really fully understand until somebody's teaching that it's very serious what you're saying. When you make a promise, there is a legal thing that's going on, transactionally speaking, in the spirit realm. We got to be careful about what we are saying, which is why I'm trying to teach about words, because you have to understand that when you say, Lord, you know, I swear I'm going to do blah, 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 if you do blah, 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 and I'm going to put my seed in this, and I'm just waiting for you to answer. And you just said, I would do blah, blah. And do you even remember what you said, like, 3 months later? It's like, oh, did I say that? I don't know. I didn't mean that. Really, your words meant it. Your words carry weight. And there's power. You have legal authority to create that thing if you're not careful. We got to be careful about what, oh, I promised to do blah, blah, blah. You better do what you told God you was going to do. Or you just now wrecked your collateral. You got to be careful about your pledges and what you're saying you will do. If you said something, you better do it. And you better ask God, bring to my remembrance everything that I did. And we got to be careful about, you know, just idle words. The Bible talks about idle words. See, some of us are out here doing this. We get frustrated, and frustration is what the enemy came to do. He wants to frustrate your promise. Do you think he wants you to be blessed? No. That's what his job is supposed to be, to keep you from not achieving anything. And he will send every frustration for you to begin to speak death upon everything that God said was good in your life. We've got to be very cautious about what we're speaking. It's just better for you to just be quiet. And ladies, I know it's hard, okay? I know it's hard because you want to have a two for one, as my mom used to say. Two words to my one. You have something to say right back, and, you know, I was that kid, so, yes. But then I became a teacher, so I can talk a lot now, so, yeah. But we got to be careful what we're out here releasing, because we don't fully, like I said, understand the power of our words. Now, we can have roadblocks on our way to Canaan called doubt and unbelief. I talked about that. Those are spirits. Those are spirits. And their assignment is to make you doubt God. Because even the Bible says, help my unbelief, right? He was saying, Lord, help me to believe. The man was like, Jesus, I want to believe, but help me. Sometimes that's a prayer. That's it. Help my unbelief. Fear. Fear is another intimidator, right? That's why I like that song, the Hallelujah song. That was wonderful. Because perfect love will cast out fear. It will. And sometimes you just have to do it afraid. God's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He can't. He can't go against his own word, so he's not going to leave you in the midst of whatever. But sometimes you got to walk through places so that your faith is increased. It's just like exercise. You're never going to get really strong muscles if you don't keep adding weight. Some of us are just being enhanced in the faith area. Fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing real. That's fear. False evidence appearing real. The enemy will have you thinking something, and it had nothing to do with that. But all of a sudden, we're going to conjure up some stuff, and we're going to like have sleepless nights about what if, what about this, what about that? How's this going to go? I don't know what I'm doing. No, you got to just trust God. Sometimes you're not supposed to know. Sometimes that's just life. That's what he is going to do to keep carrying you, but you have to know that. The other thing is double-mindedness. How many of you start one way and then, oh, I don't know. Well, wait a minute. I think, you know, but then he said that, well, wait a minute. She said that. And then I wasn't sure. Then I got, you know, conflicting, you know, words of knowledge and prophecy from people. I always say, go back to God. What did God tell you? Because prophecy is going to confirm what you already know. Or what you have a knowing about. Sometimes you just kind of know that I'm supposed to, you know, be further. And then your prophet will come and just release that thing. Prophecy is not some strange, mystic, oh, wow, really? No, it's a confirmation. Or you'll get two of the same words, and then you're like, okay, I better pay attention. But double-mindedness makes a man unstable in all his or her ways. You cannot... You'll never succeed if you have two minds. It's not going to happen. You need to pray for a single mind, and I'm not being wooey-wooey when I say that. Some of us have so many voices from other people telling us who we are or who we are not. Some of us were told, you ain't this. Who do you think you are? Are you really? We got to shut that out, and we got to start confessing. You need to start pulling scriptures out and speaking them out loud. If you need to write them on your mirror with a dry erase marker and just stand there and just keep confessing all day long. See, the people that teach the law of attraction do that. Or manifestation is what they call it. Just keep saying something. I'm like, well, that's scripture. Y'all ain't, that's nothing new, okay? That's what the word says. We are to confess. And I'm telling you, get a scripture about your situation and you need to start commanding some stuff. You were created to take authority and dominion over stuff. You are not supposed to be the tail. You're not supposed to be. And if you are the tail, then you need to do some work. You are not supposed to be that. This morning, that storm that came, we were getting all these alerts on the phone. And I was at Priscilla Shire had her streaming live event. She had a conference that one of my friends invited me to that I was at this morning. And so I kept getting all these texts. But before I left the house, I was like, man, you know, I have a new car. Lord, I really don't want no hail to, like, jack up my stuff. Like, that's not going to happen. So you know what I did? In the name of Jesus, that storm will not touch this zip code wherever I am, wherever this car is. There will not, the clouds will break. It will not come to destroy anything of mine. My house, any of my possessions, my family, my animals, nothing will this storm touch. And then I left the house. And so then I got a call from my mom. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? And she said, there's a bad storm, a tornado. I said, Mom, take your authority of that storm and command it to just break up, break apart. Don't send it to somebody else, you know. But we got to start telling the winds what to do. Come on, y'all. We are not weak and wimpy. We are made in God's image and likeness. You can take authority over the elements and tell them not today. No, not today. It's not going to happen. And shut it down. And then I just went to my little, you know, meeting and it was great. But it stormed, but there was no hail. Amen. When I came out, the sun was back out. So I was like, oh, okay. So we got to learn how to start using what we know. I'm giving you permission tonight to do it. Some of us are waiting for permission for somebody to tell us, well, I don't know if it's okay. I'm telling you. Jesus didn't die for you to be weak and wimpy and defeated. And for you to not take authority over what he gave you. If he gave you something, you have authority over that. That's your territory. That's your children. You need to start, hey, we're going to plead the blood of Jesus. Y'all going to act right. Y'all going to act right. We're not having all this. We're not heathens. We're not heathen children. We're not going to have that. We're going to have, you know, again, discipline without instruction, y'all. So don't just discipline them and you don't tell them, hey, this is what God's word said. This is what you need to do. And there is a consequence for every action. So guess what? If you get out there. Okay. And lastly, of course, are strongholds, which are inner vows sometimes that we've built walls. We have these strongholds in our life. Sometimes they can be soul ties to other people that you did not need to be involved with, or that their time has expired. Now, sometimes for a season, they were supposed to be there, but you're still carrying them and worried about their feelings and what they think, and it's time to let go, okay? Sometimes those things can hold us back. Or if we have been traumatized in our life somewhere by somebody, they still have a stronghold over us. There's a connection that needs to be broken. We still have to take care of that. Stronghold, the definition means it's a place that's been fortified so as to protect it against attack. So sometimes we fortify ourselves. We have walls. Pastor Marty taught about the walls of Jericho, the unidentified faith objects, I think is what it was. So some things that attack our faith, we don't realize that these things are still, we have a wall that needs to come down. That these things are, we think that we're keeping somebody out, but in fact, we can't get out. It's keeping us in, not them out. It's keeping us locked up. So we need to work against whatever is going on in that. Now, we know that these strongholds are spiritual, okay? It's not an actual, like, wall, okay, unless you've got something else strange going on. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare, spiritual warfare, according to the flesh, and using the weapons of man. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, okay? They're not weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses," in other words, for these strongholds. We need to be using the blood of Jesus and the word of God to destroy these. We have to dismantle them. It says we're destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish every act of disobedience when your own disobedience is complete. When your own obedience as a church is complete. So we have to get into this thing where we're going to take everything captive that says opposite of what we know. So I'm saying this is our Bible. We can do what it says we can do. And if somebody says I can't, well, that's not what my word says. You need to take that thing captive right then so that you can start to shift that. We have to start loosing ourselves from these wrong mindsets. The keys of the kingdom. Binding and loosing. You need to start binding yourself to the word of God. That's real. A lot of us don't. Bind yourself to the word. Father, I bind my mind to your mind. I bind my heart to your heart. I bind my feet to the path that you have ordained for my life. I loose myself from every wrong word, from every wrong word curse, from every wrong assignment, from every wrong thought, from every wrong thought pattern. See, some of us have patterns of thinking that takes us right back into the pit. Get out of that pit. Break that thing. Loose yourself from that. Loose yourself. You don't have to necessarily have somebody lay hands on you. That helps. But you can loose yourself by what you're saying. And you got to change that thing. As soon as you start changing, you got to, again, if you know, the devil don't fight fair. Now, if y'all had good mamas like I did, or good parents, you don't hit till somebody hits you first. Right? You don't just go up there and sock somebody because you don't like nothing. You wait till they hit first, and then you make it pay for that. Kind of like football. I love football, y'all. I would have been a strong safety if I would have been a boy, but it didn't work. So I always say, somebody got their wig split this Sunday. You know, my mom's like, oh, my gosh, you in this football. But see, some of you need to knock the devil out. When he starts his stuff, you hit him so hard that he never wants to come back and deal with you. And you don't fight fair, okay? Kick him where you need to. Punch where you need to. Hit him where it hurts and make him pay for that, to where stun him. Because see, some of y'all just, I don't know. You need to make it hurt to where that these things will stop coming back. Because that's the problem. Some of you will get started really good and then you find yourself slipping backwards like, what is wrong with me? It's because you need to start fighting for real. You need to fight. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you're going to go into Canaan. You're not going to go with the old wineskins. You're not going to go. To transform, okay, means a thorough or dramatic change. And I'm about to finish. A thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance. It could also mean a metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. And in physics, It is the induced or spontaneous change of one element into another by a nuclear process. But and I want to go like super deep because this is something that the Lord showed me this afternoon. I thought, wow, this is really something. Transformation, most of us think about metamorphosis with the caterpillar and the butterfly. That's pretty much what we think about. This poor little worm is going on with worm life, and then all of a sudden it's in a cocoon. Oh my gosh, like what just happened to me? Then it liquefies, right? So that's even more bizarre. And what happens if somebody tries to open a cocoon? What happens to what's in it? It doesn't live, right? It dies. So some of you are in a cocoon and you wish somebody could help you. Mm-mm. You're going to stay in there till your transformation is complete. Some of y'all need to stay in there as long as God needs you to stay in there, because he's trying to do a new thing. And some of y'all are fighting, and some of you are like, I really feel like I'm dying. Well, you are. Amen. Amen. Some of you are dying to what was. Because when you come out, you're not going to be like you were. Okay? You're not. You're going to be totally different. A fabulous butterfly. But that butterfly, even when it first comes out and it's wet, if you touch it, what happens? It can't fly anymore. It can never fly. If you try to help it, you'll kill it. Because the makeup of it, the fluid that's in those wings, it's got to keep flapping, and it pushes all the fluid out to where those wings can be full. So if you try to touch it, it'll be deformed. See, some of you are thinking somebody can help you because you won't let the process do what the process does. See, you're in process, and you have to realize that this process that I was telling you, that the process comes before the promise. You've got to be processed. You got to be transformed before you can get to Canaan. You can't have these idols that you were once worshiping. And when God brings you out of slavery, because the Israelites were in slavery. See, some of us have a slave mentality. We didn't even know it. We're in America. We shouldn't be acting like this. But we do because of all of the traditions, right? Of what our parents, we're just carrying what was, that's all they knew too. Some of you need to ask, what am I supposed to be doing? Because God has something new for you. When he takes you out of Egypt, you're done. But see, that mountain going around and around for all those years is because you couldn't get your mind right. I'm telling you that if you think that you can just be a butterfly and have caterpillar thoughts, it ain't gonna work. And you're not coming out of that cocoon half caterpillar, half butterfly. There's no monstrous, crazy-looking stuff. When God, it you know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. A worm with wings. Like, right. Seriously. That's not going to happen. Right. Either you are one thing or you're not. And when you have wings, then you can go on where you need to go, and it's great, it's fabulous. But see, a lot of us don't think that we're great or fabulous, and God is saying, I'm trying to get you over here, but you're trying to bring every, you know, person from your past, and remember Lot's wife. Don't look back when I'm delivering you from a place that I don't want you in anymore. I need for you to stop looking at what was and let it go. You are transformed. That is what this process is supposed to help you do. But the thing in math is what really messed me up, because transformation, any I don't know if I have any math people. I'm not a math person, even though I was a banker. Math never liked me. I tried to like math. That just didn't happen. So geometry. Okay, there's four types of transformations that happen in the geometry. I want to share this with you because it's powerful. Something called translation, rotation, reflection, and dilation. So translation simply means that it's moving. So without rotating it or resizing it or anything else, it's just moving. Has God asked you to move or get ready to move, and you're resisting the process? That's part of transformation, moving. Translation is just to be moving. It's not rotating. It's just that you got to just go. Some of you guys need to go. Pack your stuff and start getting ready, because God's about to take you somewhere. But if you're not ready, if you don't get ready, you're not going to go anywhere. The next one about rotation is a circular movement. Rotation has a central point that stays fixed, and everything else moves around that point in a circle. Could it be that God is keeping you in one place, your job, your home, your current financial situation or relational situation, because he's in the process of moving other things in or out of your life? There's a rotation that could happen. See, some of us are like, I just want to leave. Well, you don't know who's coming. God can't let you go till who never needs to get to you gets to you. Or maybe he's moving some other people out. You're staying fixed, but other things around you are moving. And you can't figure that. That's part of your process. He's processing that. He's processing that. Reflection is a transformation in which a geometric figure is reflected across a line, creating a mirror image. See, God is causing you to become his reflection so that others know it's he who established and granted you the promise. And when you refuse to acknowledge him to others, see, a lot of us don't want to tell people that God is doing a new thing in me. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to go chase people at the bar anymore. I don't want to do what I used to do because he's renewing my reflection. It's God. It's not you deciding that. It's him in you saying, I'm creating a new person. And we've got to understand that that could be a delay because we're refusing to acknowledge him. You know, he's trying to get you to yield to him. And lastly, dilation, okay? Dilation is a type of transformation that changes the size of the image. It's a transformation that produces an image that is the same shape as the original, but it's a different size. So it can create a larger image. It can create a smaller image. So again, you might have a triangle and there's something that you can do to make that bigger. It's the same triangle, but it's just a bigger one. So it's expanded. Or it's a smaller one where you can reduce that, okay? It stretches or shrinks the original figure. Could it be that the Lord is stretching or shrinking us in order to mold us more into his image and likeness so that we can fit his promise? See, some of you need to get bigger. Stop shrinking back. He might be trying to expand your territory, enlarge you. You're still you, but you got more stuff that you got going on. Some of y'all, I don't know if I want that. Well, like I said, he gave some five talents, some one. Or he might be trying to shrink your ego. He might be trying to shrink you down. You're still you, but he's trying to like say, okay, you're a little too extra. For those of you that know what extra means, yes. Some of y'all are doing the most. Okay, y'all need to stop that. He might be doing that, okay, in order to reduce our carnality so that our soul can align with where we're going rather than where we've been. We can't keep going back, guys. We can't keep doing. We're in 2019. This is like, if things are moving quick. And that alignment piece, he's trying to because he's got to take you into Canaan. But again, you can't bring the old. You can't be trying to run ahead of him if he hasn't given you permission, you know, to go yet. Just wait. Wait. Or that, again, that rotation messed me up because I thought, wow, some of us feel like we're just, oh my gosh, I just got to go somewhere. But he's got to get somebody in or out of your life before you can go. Or certain things. Maybe you got to finish school. Maybe you got to switch something. Something might just need to, it's got to come to you though. Or something you got to let go of. Because a lot of us don't want to do that either if we're comfortable. We just feel like, oh, I don't want to do that. You never know what that's going to do for you, though. Releasing something. I always share people with people when I wrote this book. Actually, when God gave me the title and all the keys to the book, I thought, I'm not an author. I'm a real estate person. I'm a business. Who's going to listen to me? And then as soon as I wrote it, TBN came, you know, just things were started happening. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, but again, until you do what he asked you, that last instruction, the last instruction he gave you is probably the key to your next instruction. And the sooner that you do it, the quicker he can do, you know, you can get to your Canaan, your promise, milk and honey. So let me pray for you all. I just, like I said, I thank you for allowing me to come and speak this word because I know that shofar did it because it broke something. There are some of you that are this close to crossing over. You're right there now. In Jesus' name, it's coming. It's coming down. But we've got to get to a place where we understand that if we don't transform, you can't be who you are right now and go where you think unless you're fully processed. So if you're a butterfly, great. I'm here to tell you, use those wings, get off the branch and stop having these worm thoughts and thinking I can't do that or I'm not. No, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And when you learn how to fly, you think, what was I waiting for? Like, why didn't I do this? And then you pass by the window, you're like, I do look good. Like, this is good. This is wonderful. Some of us don't even give ourselves that because we've been wormy for so long or we've been down or we've been in a low place. See, a caterpillar is contained. He can't go too far where his little legs don't take him. Unless, you know, some kid puts him in a jar and takes him, so he'll probably die anyway, but I digress. I'm just saying that we got to know when the transformation happens that God's taking us into a new place. And it's going to be full according to what we read in Deuteronomy. But we can't forget who we